Our first reading tonight is from Acts chapter 17. And we're reading verses 1 to 9. Thank you, Chris. I can see even better now. Page number in the Church Bibles is 1113, chapter 17 of Acts. Tonight we're looking at the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, and for those of you who are quite good at reading, you'll see headed at the top of chapter 17, in Thessalonica. There's the clue. When they had passed, when they talk about they, that's Paul and Silas and Timothy, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. There was a Jewish synagogue. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. "This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ," he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women. But the Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other brothers before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here, and Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus." When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they put Jason and the others on bail and let them go.
The reading this evening is taken from 1 Thessalonians, reading from chapter 1, 1 to 10. Paul, Silas and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath.
Thank you, Ken. So, we start a new series in Thessalonians, and chapter 1 is what we're looking at tonight. As we come to this chapter, it's useful for us to know what kind of a city Thessalonica was. It was a well-established and important city. It had a good harbour, and its trade and its economy were doing well. It had an important road running through it, and which went east from Rome. And it was doing okay. And I'm sure you know that it was a Greek city, and it was situated in the Roman province of Macedonia. In fact, today, the city is called, if I can remember it correctly, Thessaloniki, and it is today, in Greece, the second most important city. Actually, I would like to go there today and see how active the church is. Because, of course, it always always creates interest when you read about these first century churches, and you think, well, what's the situation today? So I must get somebody to take me there. I don't mind. So how did this early church get started? Well, that's why we read Acts chapter 17, verse 1 to 9, and I'm sure you'll remember, because I'm sure you've all got good memories, that what happened, that Paul, Silas and Timothy came to Thessalonica, and it was in AD 49 or AD 50. Now, there was a synagogue there, because there was a Jewish population there, and you know, because we read so many times in the New Testament, that if Paul goes to a city and it's not, it hasn't been evangelized, if there's a synagogue, where does Paul go to? He goes to the synagogue, because he wants to preach the word of God. And it tells us in the in that Acts chapter 17 that in fact he preached there on three Sabbath days. Paul preached the gospel there, and some Jews and some Greeks, and I have to smile at this, and this is exactly what God's word says. It says some Jews and some Greeks and a few prominent women. I don't know why the single, I don't know whether the ladies were so wealthy that, you know, they were quite well known. But it's quite interesting. That's what it says. A few prominent women. And they got converted to Christianity. What great news that is. And so the church was born. Doesn't take many people to start a new church, does it? Paul and his companions came in, the gospel was preached, and what happened? Not surprisingly, there was opposition to these events, because Jews and Greeks became Christians, and there were things going on which these Jews were not happy about. The Bible tells us that they were jealous. And so, these jealous Jews, they were exceedingly naughty. They went to the marketplace, and they got some bad characters. Some commentators said that they rounded up some thugs. And what they did then was they caused a riot in the city. And there was a real commotion there. And there was turmoil as well. But they did a good job in creating a problem. For the Jews who were opposing Paul and the gospel were saying to the officials, these people here, they've come from another part, and they're creating problems wherever they go, and they talk of another king called Jesus. Well, that actually was quite dangerous talk, that, not on the behalf of the officials, but on behalf of those who were doing the evangelizing. Because, of course, they were under Roman rule, and they were in a Roman province, and Caesar was head of the Roman Empire. And Caesar liked to think that people should call him king. There's nobody before me. I am king of all the earth, king of the Roman Empire. And if you say otherwise, that doesn't suit me at all. In fact, heresy. So that was a problem. But in fact, this is what Paul and his friends were preaching, that Jesus is king. And of course, we know that he is. The outcome of this is that Jason, who was one of the brothers in Thessalonica, who had become a Christian, they were actually meeting in his house. So the mob rushed down to Jason's house. They didn't find Paul or Silas or Timothy is there. So they dragged out Jason and some other brothers, the Bible tells us, and they dragged them to the officials in the town. But the officials were not quite sure what to do about this. So what they did is they put them on bail and then they allowed them to go. And that night, Paul and Silas and Timothy, they had to leave the town for two reasons. First of all, there'd been a surety given that they would not come back and create any more problems by preaching the gospel. So they had to make sure that Jason and their friends were going to be safe. But also they had to leave the city for their own safety as well. So they left the city of Thessalonica, and the Bible tells us that they went on to Berea. But we're not talking more about that tonight. I'm sure we'll get round that to that another day. This then is the background to this very young church in Thessalonica. This young church is so young, it's less than 12 months old. That's pretty young, isn't it? That's pretty young. Less than 12 months old. So as Paul writes to the Thessalonians, it's a missionary's letter to converts to Christianity. That's what these Thessalonian letters are. But the church is doing well, although it's only young in the faith. Although they've been persecuted, and it tells us that in Acts, they're doing well. There is faith, there is hope, and there is love. And Paul thanks God for them. And Paul goes on to say that the gospel came to them not just with words, but with the power from the Holy Spirit. There's no stopping the Holy Spirit. As we read in God's word, we know that once the Holy Spirit is at work, that there is change, that there is all kinds of things happen. And Paul is saying here, look, it was not just with words that the gospel came, but it was with the power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, men and women were convinced of their need and turn to God for salvation. Oh, if many in this land today would only be convinced of their need and turn to God for salvation. It's something that we need to pray about. Their spiritual eyes have been opened. They have been brought from darkness into light, as the Bible tells us. They have faith and hope, and they have a new perspective. They see things differently. They have been brought into the kingdom of God. So now they have become servants of God, and they serve him, tells us in this chapter 1. And more than that, Paul says the Lord's message rings out from this church. What a brilliant thing. That they're only young. They've received the message. But now the message of salvation and their faith is ringing out from this church. Paul says that they have become models of the gospel for what they believe and their faith. For their belief and their faith and their new way of living is not just known in Thessalonica, but in the chapter 1 it says that in Macedonia and Archaea. So it's gone far beyond the city. What brilliance that is. And that is a challenge to us as a 21st century believers, isn't it? It really is a challenge to us. What is our witness like? Is it because as individuals and as a church, we have a responsibility before God? Is our faith still strong? Is our faith as strong as it was? Are we tempted to compromise? We live in days, aren't we, where people are always looking for compromise. Don't be too hard there. Don't be too hard there. Because, you know, you might upset people. But as Christians, we have a responsibility to speak out God's truths. Are we more accepting of secular views? And does our response and our attitudes to what we see and hear, does that match what we believe? I must admit, as I've been preparing for tonight, I've been thinking about my own views. Is my faith as strong as it was? Am I more accommodating about things? What do I live out that which I believe? I believe it is a challenge to all of us as God's people. You know, you and I live in days of PC, don't we? You know PC. You bump into it all over the place. And sometimes we think, oh no, not again. Oh yes, again. Everything's PC. But Jesus wasn't PC. You may have noticed that. Jesus told the truth as it was. And we can't afford to be too PC either. Because we need to follow what God has to say. We need to model, as the Thessalonians did, we need to model what we believe. And for that, we need to trust God. For that, we need the Spirit's help. For that, we need to ask God to help us. Because, as Jesus said, we can't do these things on our own. And you know that, and I know that. We are dependent on God's power and the Holy Spirit's power and help in our lives. Paul also tells us that many of these new Thessalonian Christians had turned from idols to the living God. That was a big deal. That was a big deal. For those who were Greeks, 50 miles approximately south of the city was the mountain Apollos, where the Greek gods were supposed to live. And they could still see that. But many of these who were Greeks and turned from idols, they'd turned from idols to the living God. They had turned from statues and images and objects which they could see and touch. But they turned to God, who himself they couldn't see and they couldn't touch. But the difference, the big difference is their idols were worthless and useless, and now their trust and their futures they had placed in the hands of God and of Jesus. What a transformation for them. What a transformation that they turn from idols to the living God, and their trust was placed in somebody who was worthy of their trust and their faith. There are many idols in our society today, aren't there? Many idols. You know that. The idols of money, power, status, celebrity. People make sport an idol. They make social media an idol. I don't know about you, sometimes you see people looking at their phones. We look after our grandchildren on a Tuesday, and when I get there, our middle grandson, he's got his phone handy, ready to go to school, and when his pals come to pick him up, the four of them are all looking at their phones. There must be something magical about them, I think. There must be. I don't see it. Maybe because I'm over 25, but there we are. But I know they're not unique. But they all become godlike. So people make sport and social media. They make work and business an idol. They make their families an idol. Now, you can call them idols, but you can also call them God substitutes. And I suppose when we call them God substitutes, it's sounding a bit more important, isn't it? It's sounding a bit more dangerous. Because, of course, we do know, because the Bible tells us, that all these things will come to an end, and only God will remain. If any of these things, if any of these things and more hold sway in our lives, hold sway in my life, we need to ask God to help us and also to turn away from them. Because as believers, we cannot allow anything to come between us and God. Jesus died for us on the cross, and that's where our loyalty should lie. At the end of this chapter, Paul tells us these believers are waiting for the return of Jesus. The verse runs like this. They tell you how you turn from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Jesus rescues us. He not only died on the cross for our sins, but he rescues us from the wrath of God. That is at the end of time. And it will come. It might seem a long way away at the moment, but God's judgment will come. The Bible tells us that God will judge the living and the dead. And so as believers and followers of Jesus, we are rescued, amen, from the wrath to come. I think this first chapter of Thessalonians is great. It's encouraging. It's interesting. And also you see how this young church was moving forward. And although young in the faith, how the gospel was ringing out from their church to other parts of Greece. It would be interesting to see today how Thessalonica or Thessaloniki is doing in terms of Christian things today, wouldn't it? If I go, I'll come back and tell you.